Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We've got a topic that I've been wanting to cover for a long time now, and that is why the quality of your love life will make you way more money, which I truly believe. And we've got an expert guest who's Stefo Shambo. He's the founder of the Tantric Academy, where he helps high caliber men reignite the magic in their relationships and love life. And he was recently featured on Entrepreneurs on Fire, which is an awesome podcast with like a million monthly listeners, Vice, Fox News, and Fatherly. So Stefo, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Robbie. Good to be here.
So tell us, how did you, become a expert tantra teacher? Give us your backstory.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story, but to make it shorter, I was struggling in my teens and with myself, with depression, with women, to find my place in this world. And I was just looking for more in life. And that kind of suffering and being in that dark place, coming from a lot of trauma in childhood, led me to kind of question life and seeking answers, right? So I set out on kind of like a pilgrimage around the world, and I sold my house, I sold my car, and got rid of all my belongings. Just bought a one-way ticket to far away, abroad, and I didn't know when I will come back. And what happened is that I never came back, and I was just traveling the world, and finally finding yoga, the traditional yoga and the tantric texts in the foothills of Himalaya in India, right, where it kind of originated. And I started to kind of study these texts and finding schools and starting practicing yoga and tantra for hours a day. That was kind of like my new passion. Something sparked in me. I was like searching and looking, and after 2 years, I finally find kind of what I felt, this is it, this is what I want to do, this is my passion. So I was doing that. I was reading, practicing, and living in communities of Tantra yoga for years and years. And finally that developed into my purpose, my mission. And I was like, okay, I've done my self-development. I healed a lot of this trauma. I transformed a lot of relationship patterns and my relationship to the feminine in general. Right now, I want to pass it on, because I feel like, as a lot of men feel, maybe if they don't have a mission in life, they might not feel fully complete. So in the last 5 years or so, I've been kind of trying to pass this knowledge on to other men.
Gotcha. So I have a slight confession. The word tantra for me has always kind of had this like slightly negative connotation, because I've met so many like fake losers, shamans, guys who say they're like wizards, pretending that they've got these magical powers. Like, I've heard outrageous claims like, I can make any woman orgasm without even touching her over the phone. I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's done that with one woman or something, but any woman, come on. I've just met so many random, guys like this at different sex parties and different events I've been at. So Tantra for me has always had that kind of buzzword. But however, I know that many of the tantric principles I probably already use, when I'm, making love or whatever, having sex. So I'm just curious, like, for other guys, I'm guessing, that might have that negative connotation to the word tantra, is there something you could say to guys like that?
Yeah, I mean, it is a hugely misunderstood topic in the world, because in the Western world, in America, in Europe, and Australia, like, when we heard the word tantra, we immediately associate that with sex, right? It's just because what we are referring to Tantra is actually Neo-Tantra. It's not classical Tantra. So Neo-Tantra is about 110 years old, coming from the Theosophical Society, Aleister Crowley, and these kind of founders who kind of took parts of classical Tantra and made it into a new kind of path that's focusing more on the sexual aspects. Even though classical Tantra have some elements of using sex, but also anything else in life, like eating, walking, sleeping, breathing, right? To use that for, you know, personal growth and, you know, realizing the true nature of the self, right? It is not so emphasized in the classical Tantra, right? So they're almost like two separate paths. One is about 1,500, 2,000 years old, classical Tantra. One is about 100 years old, and that is Neo-Tantra. So I like to kind of divide them into two categories: Neo-Tantra, classical Tantra. What are we talking about? Of course, they'll have some overlaps in there as well. I don't know if that helps.
Gotcha. So it sounds like maybe they took the principles of the older Tantra and used it to come up with some of these like newer teachings, or kind of maybe even kind of marketed it a bit to make money off it, that sort of thing. I'm guessing, and then
Exactly. So now it has a bad reputation, because all these people who done like a 30-day course are now experts, so to speak, or they just use the name just to make more sales, because right now Tantra is a buzzword. It sells, right? And, you know, sex has always been something that is very, you know, in the world's eye, right? So, they use that. And then, you know, we have all these fake gurus and fake teachers who give a bad reputation of the word Tantra, right? Which is a shame.
It is. I'll tell a funny story. I was at this party in Kiev, Ukraine, a few years ago. And it was like this sexy Halloween party, kind of like a swingers party, but this guy there, his name was Dima, and he was a self-proclaimed Tantra expert and teacher. And basically what he would do is just take a ton of ecstasy, give ecstasy to the girls. And then, you know, once they were kind of high, he would start like waving his hands around and trying to convince them that they were having an orgasm. But his wife would actively participate in this sort of thing, and she pretended to be having orgasms. Maybe she was, but it was just this whole ridiculous show. And that was one of the reasons why I kind of started having that negative interpretation of it. But
yeah.
Anyways, how did you what were you experiencing, I guess, in your life that kind of led you to get into it? Were you going through any sort of like pain or you know, trouble that led you to on your journey?
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned in the beginning, growing up in my childhood, I had a lot of trauma from, you know, having my mother around and her having her mental issues and alcoholism and all that. Mm-hmm. So I never really had the nurture of the feminine, so to speak, or the love or the attention or the physical touch from a mother. So that nurturing was never there. So I had a severe severed kind of connection to the feminine within myself, right?
Gotcha.
No matter what my relationship with my mother was, right? It was just like a severed connection there. So that led me to have kind of a trauma growing up, and teenage years and early 20s was really, really difficult, right? And that led me to kind of needing to find answers, because I was not in a good place, right? And that set my whole passion for self-discovery, to seek out something more in life, basically. And that led me to that world travel, that led me to this path.
Were you mainly like growing up with your father? He was, yeah. Was he present in your life?
He was, yeah.
And did that have like a big impact on your relationships with women? What was your, did you struggle with that at all in terms of like meeting women, dating women?
Yeah, very much so, because since I had a skewed kind of relationship to the feminine because of my upbringing, I always attracted the same type of women again and again and again. And it was very toxic. It was very chaotic, right? It was, extremely passionate, you know, but on the other side of that spectrum, it was extremely chaotic. So I always attracted, so to speak, my mother unconsciously, right? I didn't want to that, right? So very much unstable, very emotional women, just like my mother's, just so I can re-experience that and heal it. So my soul was trying to kind of heal through new relationships again and again. So until I did that healing work, which was like a lot of years of shadow work and yoga and self-development, right? Like I was not able to stop that relationship pattern, right? So attracting the same women.
I had a period where I kind of felt like I attracted a lot of toxic women. And my mom's not toxic, but I think it was just from hanging out at a lot of parties where, you know, those sort of women hung out. And I noticed that, like, I became almost addicted to them because of their like toxicity, basically. Like they were exciting and they were fun and they were crazy, but they were also, you know, kind of like this, they're very addictive. And it sounds maybe similar to the type of women that you were attracting. I'm not sure. These were like raging party girls, you know, tons of energy, tons of fun, but then they would turn around and just completely, you know, like have narcissistic personality sort of disorders, or just do things that you would totally not expect, just like leave or cheat on you or those sorts of things. Are those the sort of women you're talking about, or was it too broad of a net to cast?
Not specifically, but it's more like very emotionally over the top. So very emotionally women. And I would say also like very early on, maybe also a little bit mentally crazy, just like my mom, like maybe not like super unstable, but just along those lines, maybe not the kind of the party crowd too much, but yeah, along those lines. So yeah, I think we attract some, you know, people into our lives unconsciously or consciously, just to kind of have a lesson or learn something that we haven't really, you know, seen ourselves yet.
Sure. So let's get into the topic of, you know, how can we make more money basically by being a better, you know, by kind of like increasing the quality of your love life. How do we make that link?
Yeah, it's a good one, you know, because many times we don't really think about it. We always think like it. Today we're kind of sold, entrepreneurs are sold the idea that, you know, you need to work hard all the time. You need to really hustle and grind, and then, you know, consistently you will finally make it, right? But I think there's some good ideas there that consistency is really important, but there are also this power versus force, right? So I don't know if you read that book by Dr. Hawkins, right? But he describes two different ways of reaching somewhere, and that is either you can force it with a lot of hustle, or you can use power, which is more kind of being in the flow of universe. So you have universal energy backing you up, and that will just be easier to reach where you want to go when you kind of are led by life and take those steps instead. And so the same thing here, like if we are just forcing ourselves and, you know, overworking and neglecting our love life or a marriage, it happens a lot to working men, right? And the wives are complaining, or you're not really home much, or you're not really there. And when you're home, you're physically present, but not emotionally present, and all those things, right? And then, you know, there's kind of like a disconnection, like we're not happy in our love life, but maybe we're happy in, you know, succeeding in our business, right? But the thing is that when, you know, you're really, really cultivating this sexual experience and sexual energy, which is in what we call in Tantra life force itself, it's the creative energy that brings, you know, nature to life. It's the birthplace of everything, right? Then we will use that creativity, that life force also in our other avenues in our life. It's just like they say, you know, when your wife is happy, or when we have a fulfilling relationship, we're also happy in other parts of our life. I don't know, there was just a UFC fight recently. I don't know if you watch that kind of stuff, but he said, what happened? You were kind of not doing so well in your career, and all of a sudden there was this big shift. And what he said was that, you know, I started to become happy at home as well. You know, it's not just how much I trained and in the fight itself, but it was how I was feeling at home. So if we can cultivate our sexual experience and have a lot of sex, we bring that creativity, that life force into our business, and we can actually transmute that into whatever avenues we want, if that's abundance, starting a new business idea, or fueling our pursuit in work, whatever that is.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I saw a stat, don't remember where, but it said that men who are in a relationship make 25% more than men who are single on average. And I've certainly experienced that in my life. The times I've been single, which, you know, there's been a lot of those. I recently got married. I'm 40 years old, but basically throughout most of my 30s, I was single and living that bachelor lifestyle. You know, when you're focused on sex and meeting women and having those experiences, obviously it's going to take away a lot from your ability to kind of focus on work and career. And when you have that, you know, solid relationship, that's just, I feel, one huge area of your life that is a lot more manageable. Obviously, if you neglect it, you're going to pay the price. But if that's like a stable, constant, you know, source of love and companionship and stability, then it's so much easier to excel in other areas and really put a lot of that other time where you might be out, you know, looking for partners or trying to find someone into that. So I totally agree. And I find that really interesting. Is there anything you would recommend to guys who are single, who, you know, want to harness the same sort of energy without, right, you know, if they don't want to be in a relationship? What would you say to a guy like that?
Keep sexual active, you know, mm-hmm, cultivate more self-pleasuring than just kind of watching porn and just have a quick release. Instead, cultivate longer, maybe tantric or more conscious self-pleasuring practices, so you can really start to kind of harness and cultivate the sexual energy running through your body, instead of just having, you know, a lot of guys, we all do, like watch porn and just want to release and feel that emptiness and release afterwards, right? But there's so much more to it. If we can start to cultivate and circulate this sexual energy in our bodies, we can carry more of that life force throughout our day and then fuel that. And we also feel more on top of things. We feel like we seize the day more. So yes, single guys can very much be sexual active and use that as well. Start to incorporate some tantric practices of moving energy and transmuting some of this sexual energy into their pursuits and goals. Maybe that is to get married or dating, whatever that might be as well. So yeah, using that and not kind of fall into just the trap of a porn.
Right. Yeah, one thing that I tried to do was learn to be like multi-orgasmic. And where you're talking about circulating energy, I read a book called A Multi-Orgasmic Man by Montauk Chia. I'm sure you're familiar or heard of it before. And he talks about this idea of, rather than like releasing and having a traditional orgasm, you can train your muscles and probably your mind as well. I could never do it, but basically that's my question. Most of the guys I've met in Tantra have, you know, have some thoughts on this. Is it something that you practice, or do you incorporate that in, and what have you experienced? Yeah, with that?
100%. So from the tradition I'm coming from, it's more of the Indian tantric system. So the traditional Tantra, Mantak Shia, what you're talking about, circulation, is more the Taoist tantric tradition. So they're a little bit different. So the Taoism, Taoism is more of like circulating that energy, and in traditional Tantra is more of like pushing that energy up the spine into the top of the head, like the third eye, the crown, and things like that. So very similar, just a little bit different approach, right? So yes, I do practice a lot of those practices of raising the energy up the spine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Along the energy points and the energy centers. And in the beginning, it helps to do the manual techniques with the body and the locks and the breathing and all that. But the more and more you do that, and the more you start to kind of activate your energy system, because you have to activate it first before you start feeling something and see it's working, then you can incorporate the mind and actually do like an NLP. So you anchor the physical movements with some mental patterns, and then eventually you can actually start to do it just with your mind. And this is what you see with some of these kind of like woo-woo or, you know, fake gurus, and they hover the hands over the woman and start to orgasm. It actually worked, but not for many, you know, like right. You can do that, but you have to master this yourself first.
Oh, I'm sure it definitely, yeah. You know, I mean, you can have an orgasm in your sleep, which tells us you don't need the physical sensation to do it. Right. So
yeah.
I'm sure there's so many of those sorts of things that are possible. I would guess it's kind of like hypnosis in a way, where someone has to be a bit suggestible, and that way they can kind of go into that mental place where that can happen. Is that correct?
It helps. I would just rather rephrase that to an activated energy system, right? So
okay.
the tantrics, they were the first people ever to map out the energy system, like the meridians, the nadis,
chakras.
The central chakras, the chakras. Mm-hmm. When you hear about chakras, kundalini, and prana, those terms were never ever realized or heard about before the tantric text came out, right? So they're all originated from tantra. So when you say kundalini, that's tantra. When you say chakras, that's tantra. Now it's, you know, so much more than that, because it's just like a Western term these days. Just like we in biology have mapped out the cardiovascular system, the veins, the bloodstream and all that, they in detail mapped out every single energy system, 72,000 different meridians, you know, and energy meeting points. And so when you start to activate this system, you are very much more susceptible to these energy practices. Yes.
And as far as activation goes, what I've heard is, you know, yoga is certainly one of the best ways to do it. Any sort of movement therapy or just trying to waken those energy centers up. Do you have any advice on, you know, what guys can do if they feel like, you know, well, first, how would a guy know if he's sort of disconnected in that system, or maybe one of his chakras is turned off, and what would you recommend to do?
Yeah, first of all, what I always start with my clients is kind of removing first all the blockages that might be, you know, stored in the body on a physical level. So we do the armoring for that, or maybe on a mental level, we have mental blocks of shame and guilt around our sexuality or other things, a relationship, right? So we need to work on a mental level to remove limiting beliefs and limiting blocks, right? And then maybe there are certain stagnations in certain parts, like there are, you know, over obsession around the sexual activity or a lot of jealousy. And those are kind of lower chakra kind of attributes, we say. So it's kind of like a holistic approach to this. Can we heal our limiting beliefs, heal our trauma on an emotional level, you know, move the stagnation of energy on an energetical level, right? Realize this polarity that men are not only supposed to be masculine. You know, we have masculine energy, we have feminine energy. We need to be also connected to our emotional intelligence that is sexy to women. Right. Like, so we have to embrace both sides and realize that, you know, a balance between masculine energy and feminine energy is good. We can become integrated and thus have a more pleasant experience.
So what, is there any commonality between most of the men you work with? You know, what are their typical struggles, and tell us a little bit more like the process you kind of help them through.
Yeah, So most of my guys are either in a relationship or in a marriage, and it's, you know, they became roommates rather than passionate lovers, right? The sex life is dwindling, you know, probably it's a sexless marriage, or it's a lackluster marriage. The connection is not there anymore and they wonder why, right? So, or these guys are single and they just have some blocks towards women or relationship and then be single for years and they are in this rut, right? And they're looking not just to date around and you know, learn new pickup techniques and that scene, but more of like, how can they transform from within in their energy to kind of magnetize and manifest love, meaningful connections in their lives, right? So either these two kinds of men, and often they are people pleasers, or often they are, you know, not really fully owning their confidence, or they're blaming life, they're blaming women, they're getting into the victim mentality of things, right, and not taking mm-hmm. ownership of their life. So a lot of these things I see, and I guess you might also see some of these things, right?
And what a lot of overlap, a lot of nice guy syndrome, you know, not owning their own sort of masculinity, their own self. It's cool though, because you obviously, I feel like a lot of the other teachers I've met maybe had like a very developed feminine and then later sort of developed the masculine, but you're kind of the opposite, where you had a much more developed masculine and you kind of had to develop the feminine. So I think that's a better sort of route. And I think you could be a better guide than the people who've kind of gone the other way, just in general. That's just a guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, go on with how you were working with them.
Oh yeah. So working with them. So what I do then is that we need to approach this holistically, because I feel there's so many people who do the therapy route, or some people that do the embodiment route, and some people that just do the sexual mastery route of like fix your PE, your ED and all that stuff. And all those things are great, but I feel when we combine all of these things into one system, it's more holistic, right? So I call that, I developed something called the five-level transformation, right? So when we do, like I mentioned in the beginning here, work on the mental level, the limiting beliefs, the mastering the sexuality, right? Heal the traumas on an emotional level, get this balance of polarity within masculine, feminine polarity on an energy level, right? And then also incorporate the spiritual level, like cultivate unconditional love, unconditional acceptance of the other, and use relationship as a path to self-development, right? But then we have a whole system, like in yoga, we talk about the five levels of the man, right? It's not just the physical body, there's all these other levels, right? So in the same sense here, we're working on all these five levels simultaneously. And that's when I'm seeing this huge transformation in just 9 weeks of my program, because less than that, it's not really possible to have a transformation. I tried all the workshops and the weekend workshops before, and it's a nice taste, and you know, but it, I want to produce these transformations. So we have a lot of guys. This one guy, Jake from New York, for example, he never believed that he would find love again. He had a mental block, right? So we needed, for him, was not so important to maybe go into the sexual master right away. We needed to work on this mental block. So 10 years single, by himself, feeling really lonely. It's hell, right? Mm-hmm. And in 9 weeks, we're able to shift that mental belief for him. And he dated 4 women in just those 9 weeks when he didn't date anyone for 10 years, right? So these massive shifts are only possible when, what I feel, we're not doing this conventional, traditional talk therapy, or just like using one system, like many people niche into like the embodiment or the sexuality or the therapy avenue, right? So doing all that into one.
Yeah, I find that a lot of people probably in that situation would either, you know, try talk therapy, maybe have no success with that, or they would try maybe like the, you know, pickup or dating coaching route. But then again, like with a guy who's literally had zero for 10 years, like there's a reason why he's not actively sort of pursuing that, you know. I would guess that guy was, you know, turning away all opportunities possible. So it wouldn't do any good for him to like learn dating strategies. Probably wouldn't do any good to do talk therapy. So you need a multi-pronged approach like you're talking about. Another question. So I have a client now, kind of an interesting case. He's, very like masculine guy, lifts a lot of weights. He's on, a testosterone replacement therapy. And he has an interesting problem because, he's experiencing ED, erectile dysfunction. During the dating process, when women are wanting to sleep with him, and he's feeling a lot of this like anxiety and pressure kind of to perform and to perform quickly. Like if he senses they want to, have sex on like the first date, then he starts to freak out. My advice for him was, you should be the one slowing things down. You should be the one taking it slow, and waiting until you're comfortable. Cause he says when he's comfortable, he's okay. And he said that's worked a bit, but I was curious if you have anything you can maybe add or any thoughts on, because I feel like it's a pretty common problem with guys. It's like we feel this anxiety to, to perform, and then that can totally lead to, us not being able to perform at all.
Right. Yeah, 100%. That's a good question. So ED is it's a special one, right? Most men have more issues with premature ejaculation. ED is maybe the second or third one. So we have to, usually what I assess first is like, what are their daily habits, And if porn is there and they watch it at least once a week, I would say that's a problem, right? So we have to kind of reset our brain from what I call the porn brain, right? So reboot the brain and just like no porn for at least 6 months. It takes that long to really reboot, right? So ED can come from porn, and that might be like an obsessive porn use in our younger days, and it's lingering. And we think we don't watch it that much, but it's still kind of like once a week, every now and then, right? So it's still there. So either it's that, we have to look at like what's his relationship to porn. Maybe it's numbness in their penis, right? Or just emotionally numb as well. So that's the second part here. Like if you feel this pressure, like most people say, oh, it's performance anxiety, that's why he has ED. Yeah, but why is it, why does he have anxiety, right? That's because he put pressure on himself, and that stems from the emotional level. In my system, we call that an emotional level problem. So I would focus on the emotional level with him, like where's the pressure? He feels not good enough, not man enough. He have to be someone to prove that he is a man to these women, and that stems from some kind of trauma or emotional turmoil from his past, right? So we need to actually go to that trauma and heal that. When we heal that, we'll see that this pressure is not there anymore. The anxiety is gone and the ED is gone. So it depends. Is it porn-induced ED? It's called porn-induced ED, or is it emotional-induced ED? Of course, these are the two most common ones in my clients, because we rule out overweight and obesity, because that can also be medical conditions. For ED, of course. So if he's very overweight, it's probably obesity.
Gotcha. Yeah, so now he's in good shape. And I don't think he watches porn. So let's assume that he doesn't. How do you then go into that trauma? Is it NLP? Are there other sort of techniques?
Yeah, I mean, in my system, the 5-level transformation, we're trying to tackle that. On each level. So in emotional level, we have to really, bring awareness to this, like, when did it happen? What's the link for today? So we can link past with present, right? So we get more awareness for him. And he just realized that, oh, actually, there is a link here even, right? So if that's not there, nothing can really be worked upon, right? And then actually go and give that inner child that is frozen in time what it was needed back then and give it to him now. So what did that looks like? We have to create a plan for how to intervene in this kind of, it's a frozen inner boy, right? The inner child here needs some, TLC, And so we need to give that to him now in adult days to kind of heal this pattern. And then on a mental level, we have to just reframe those things that the inner child was telling himself, like, I'm not good enough. I don't amount to anything. My mother was really maybe very hard on me. So I have to always prove myself to her. And that's how I got to, feeling loved, right? So all these, what he might be saying subconsciously to himself, we have to reprogram those beliefs as well on a mental level, right? So I would start there.
And is there any difference? You mentioned premature ejaculation and guys dealing with that issue. Do you have any suggestions or tips for that situation?
Yeah, that's very much on a sexual level, energetical level. So often we are not just able to have the capacity to hold that sexual energy in our nervous system, in our, what I talked about before, the energy system itself, right? So when a woman is entering into our bedroom, we're not only holding our own sexual energy, now we're also holding another person's energy system, and we have to actually make room for that, right? So here it's all about activating the energy body, how to be able to move that up the spine, so there's not like stagnating on, we call it the second sacral chakra, the Svadhisthana, right? So if, let's say Svadhisthana is like a cup, right? And you just fill it with sexual energy, that's water, like from a cup, right? You just fill it, all suddenly it's overflowing, right? And then we premature ejaculate. So we have to be able to move energy out from there, so to speak, and like move the energy upward and spread it out to other centers as well, right? So that is usually what's happening. And, we're not trained at all in this, and we never get taught about sexuality in school or in society. No one is teaching about, conscious or sacred or more, advanced sexuality. It's just about STDs, right? So we don't even know what to do or where to start. We're just bringing all the stress and worries from our daily life and our work right into the bedroom. There's no transition. There's nothing. So we just come with this cup over full, and we just like, jackhammer 2 minutes and it's done kind of thing. So we just have to relearn how to, do sex properly.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like the most common thing. Like you said, you're just hanging out and then you get turned on. But there's, and in most cases, I think a lot of guys would just turn to porn. They jerk off for a couple of minutes and then that's it, right? Or maybe even less. And that's kind of how you're training yourself, right? If that's how you typically handle that, your sexuality, that's what you're going to take into the bedroom.
Exactly. So how you train is how you're going to play, right? So, in a sport as well, if you train a certain way every day, all the time, and you've done it for years, you condition yourself to porn, man, that's how you're going to play as well, right? If you don't have any sessions solo that goes for 1 hour, 2 hours, how can you expect that to go in the real world as well?
Yeah, how often would you recommend a guy to sort of have those alone sessions if that's, if he's experiencing the situation we just described?
Yeah, as much as possible, like at least 3 times a week to make any progress, right? So at least 3 times a week and really set time aside to have privacy, to, set in settings. It's important as well, not just in front of the screen, like randomly, set and make it nice, make it a sacred practice, right? And trying to block out, at least an hour. So you don't, it's like, not just 15 minutes. You don't want to feel stressed. You want to feel comfortable. You want to be able to explore something new, because it's really, really difficult, especially if you come from a past of porn addiction, right? To suddenly start to rewire your brain to have sex in a different way, it's going to take some time and practice and some frustration in the beginning. And that's why it's important to set some time aside when you can just relax your mind and fully go into it and start to discover new ways of being sexually.
And what would that look like? Because from what I've heard before is, you know, kind of like take your bedroom setting, you know, don't use porn, and just kind of have like a slow masturbation session where you're using your mind to go into your sexuality instead of a screen, you know, set some candles or whatever. But is there any, would you recommend that? Would you recommend something different?
Yeah, no, I mean, you need to bring in some practices as well. Mm-hmm. So then we turn to the tantric tools that we have. So for example, certain breathing patterns, certain, you know, manual manipulations of the body, like bandhas and locks, certain ways of, you know, positioning your body and your eyes, your tongue and all that, right? And also the awareness, you know, you have two types of awareness in Tantra. You have the single pointed focus and you have the expanded awareness, right, as well. So using both of these and also using the polarity practice. So we have to be able to move between our feminine and our masculine throughout the self-pleasuring practice, right? So when we combine all these three things together, we kind of spiritualize or make it, like I said, into a sacred self-pleasuring, right? So it's not just the candles and the external factors, but also what practices you bring into it. So trying to surf that wave of sexual pleasure for a longer time will help to implement these practices. So just to summarize, some of the breathing practices, awareness practices, and then the polarity practice within yourself.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I think that's super useful for guys. Anything else that you feel like is super relevant we touch on? And also, where can guys, you know, find out about your work and potentially, you know, work with you and learn more about this stuff?
Yeah, man. I'm at tantricacademy.com. So my website is my primary touch point. And that's where I, you know, spend a lot of time just producing a lot of great content on my blog and free videos as well. So have free trainings for married men, free trainings for single guys, and a lot of other freebies and stuff you can download there, the ejaculation control PDF and things like that. So yeah, the website is definitely the best place to go, tantricacademy.com. Yeah.
Cool. I'm definitely going to go check out some of that stuff. Sounds very useful. And thanks so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom.
Yeah, a pleasure, Robert. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.